I don't think
press it again, it turns it into a circle.
Press it again, it turns into a pod.
And press it again, it turns into a pod.
Press it. How'd you do it? Okay, now it's recording. Test.
Yeah.
Right, everybody sit where they're comfortable. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Yes, equal for male and female.
So,
what's the name of the meeting?
Bhakti Society Structure Discussion Group.
22nd of June 2007, Badger.
You know where Jiva is? Can you run out and try to grab him?
It's recording.
He's got it.
I just left it recording.
Okay. I can turn it off. I know.
Okay, well, pause it then.
Is that changed to a pause?
Is it on pause?
No,
not yet. I'm getting some good ideas. Okay, it's on now. Is there any way it can be more in the center? Or?
No.
Okay, clarification on your report.
Could you just briefly go over again exactly who are the founding members, Bhakti Trust and Spiritual Advisory Committee? Who are they and how did they get to be in those?
Okay, briefly, because we went in depth yesterday. Founding members is a group of 30 to 60 devotees that are directly appointed by Gurudev, devotees that he has recognized and made a significant contribution over the years to his mission. They could be anyone.
And they might be parts of the Seva committees as well. It's
possible. They could be, yeah. The Bhakti Trust members, you're familiar with how that was formed. It's a group of about 13 individuals, which was Gurudev's first concept of advice and structure and management, which is now expanding into this entire structure. There are six Indian devotees and six international devotees on that trust. If you could say the trust is, this is an expansion of the trust, more or less. The trust function at this point is to hold the intellectual property, the copyrights, as well as Gurudev's assets in India legally. And then the advisory boards is a group of senior devotees advanced in bhakti who are qualified to give spiritual
advice. Like sannyasis and...
Can be anyone who's advanced in bhakti and recognized to give some type of spiritual guidance and advice.
I had an interesting conversation with Govinda Dasi this morning. I think there seems some issues in most of the group that I was with yesterday. So she was saying that pretty much, she's in Hawaii, but she's with ISKCON in Hawaii, but she's kind of favored for her Sangha. She said that pretty much everything that we've got there, they've already got in place. They've got in place in Hawaii. It's what's it called? 513C?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Non-profit charity.
Yeah. So, but still, they have a very, very heavy, legal case now about financial abuse. So, it'd be interesting to see, there are some, obviously, they don't have Gurudev looking after, that's one thing. But it would be very interesting to see what
other... This is an ISKCON organization?
Yeah, ISKCON Hawaii.
Okay.
And now there's abuse by the leader there, who brought in his own...
Financial investment.
Yeah, financial investment. So, I don't want to breathe even a whisper, suspicion that anything has gone on. But I do think that, this being Kali Yuga, we should do everything we can to avoid the possibility of misrepresentation and abuse in the future. And I think that we should try to put that in place in the organization now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be very interesting to discuss with her and with anybody else, legal, just to see how that, what has happened there.
How it occurred.
How it occurred and how it's not going to occur in what we have, both now and when our...
Okay.
Right. I have a perspective of what's happening at Hawaii.
We're getting into another realm right now. I just want to finish the topic of clarification. Do you have a question about clarification?
Yeah, because I'm not sure if it actually applies this or not, but it was mentioned yesterday about those in Saffron Cloth being involved in management. So then my question would be, you know, if that were a reality, that those in Saffron Cloth wouldn't be involved in managing, does that mean that those in Saffron Cloth would not be involved in any of the Sangha committees or on the board of representatives or not? I'm just curious.
Well, I think the management's happening on this level, right, as far as I understand. The SEVA committees, like GVP and et cetera, I mean, there's going to be sannyasis involved in this. There's going to be sannyasis down here.
Right, but those, I understood, because those are appointed positions. Those are not, I understood.
Right.
Those are really advisory.
Would brahmacharis or sannyasis be eligible to be in this group or not?
Yeah,
Well, that's what he's asking. We're discussing it. There's some concern and opinions from some devotees due to management in ISKCON involving renunciates that they would like to see on a managerial level that renunciates aren't in a managerial position, dealing with money, dealing with, you know.
In Srila Prabhupada's original directions of management, he said that the grihasthas should manage the temples and that the GBC should be mainly made up of grihasthas, although some brahmacharis, and they should just see that the temples are doing what they're supposed to be doing, not impose any kind of structure on them or any kind of system. And the sannyasis should not be involved in management at all. They should just read and chant, do bhajan, they should travel and preach everywhere.
I think this is so kind of the general.
I'm just, you know, and I feel that because they never did that, that's why the whole organization tumbled in many ways.
Okay, so I think everybody
should try to institute something like that. I'm just wondering, where's the line?
Well, you know what? This can be a discussion right here. We can open that up for discussion.
But I have a clarification question.
Yeah, okay.
Is there a time limit on the people in the green square?
We talked about a 3-year term. But there's one thing, that there may be some secretaries involved. Like the chairman may have a staff of a couple secretaries that keep track of, you know, contracts and legal documents and everything. There could be a permanent staff that are non-voting members of this group. It would be difficult to change every 3 years because they'll be very valuable administrative functions and they'll know a lot of things.
3-year term meaning never, the person can never come back, or 3 years and then you take
a break? That's open for discussion. Maybe there's a re-election, you know, depends on how the votes feel. One other thing I want to clarify about this structure is the voting process and how these persons get in the position. Yesterday we were recommending that there be general elections amongst all the devotees for these persons here and the chairman. They may be nominated by the advisory groups or the SEVA committees, but they would be ratified in their position by the general Sangha. There was some discussion afterwards. Some devotees didn't like this. I'm personally also I've moved to the opinion that the Jiva had been presenting, that they're actually not elected by the Sangha. So I'd like him to, for a few minutes, present that concept about how these persons and the chairperson could best be put in the position without an election. Can you do that short presentation? Do you have a short comment?
Well, I made a proposal yesterday of exactly that the board is all voted by the whatever the definition is going to be for the Worldwide Society membership, and individually at the chairperson. The reason being is I think we nearly need a separation of powers. If we have nominations of good men or women, whatever it is, whether it's ladies or men, or maybe we even want to discuss that as an issue too, but however it comes from the Bhakti Trust or founding members, that we've experienced that to build a love and trust, you need to engage and give opportunity to all persons that would be qualified as Sangha members. And so I think that instills in our entire Sangha that feeling of participation and involvement. Again,
so are you suggesting,
so I'm suggesting that yes, definitely the worldwide body votes for the entire board. But as you said, the nominations can come where we have people that
will help. Why don't we start here, because a number of persons have been discussing this issue, and Jiva, is going to represent one side, and then you've made your point. Anybody else who has it, if we could open up for discussion, I'd like to let Jiva make his presentation quickly, and then we'll open it up for discussion.
Just one little thing. Before voting, must be a criteria to know who meet the criteria in order to vote. So there is any criteria about
we don't even
know. First of all, what we'd like to get, one of the things we'd like to get from the group today is that after hearing both sides of the story, do we want to vote these persons in or not? Okay, if we can come to that decision today amongst our group, it would be very helpful. In order to make an educated decision, we need to hear both sides. And Randall has mentioned some things. Other people.
But I think you have to clarify. You have to clarify where the nominations come, where they're being nominated. Because you have two separate issues, nominated personalities.
Let Jiva make his presentation, and then we'll come back to you, and you can continue with your presentation. Okay, Jiva, please stand up, and you should come here. And
let's to all Vaishnavas present here. The subject about voting has been a very controversial or a deep subject matter that we've been discussing since San Francisco for a while. I personally don't think there should be a vote for several reasons, which I'm going to explain now. This system is not a system of power positions. These positions here, they're not power positions. Nobody's controlling anyone, and no one is governing everyone. It is not a system like the government, where people are going to be making decisions on behalf of the people, or like that. It's a service-based structure, where people who are serving mostly in the Sangha come to the boards, to manage and help assist service more, and the people who feel in the particular groups that this person is representing the interest of our publication or our distribution, book distribution, or whatever the service might be, women's interests, I feel they should have the right to choose who truly represents them in the board, which will be helping to make the decision that's going to affect their service, which will be affecting the Sangha. So, personally, as far as voting is concerned, voting brings up, one, it brings up quarrel, I feel. Yesterday we had a vote about whether we should have a meeting in there or not. It's one of the ugliest things I've seen in years. And if it's going to be about where people think that there's power and position, even though that's what this is not, that's what I want to stress over and over again. This is not a position of control or power. They cannot tell these guys what to do, and these guys can't tell the Sangha what to do. All it is a process of how to assist people so things, services are not duplicated and people can be supported in their service. So it's not a position of power, but as soon as voting comes, people automatically think it is a position of power. I feel that division will come, and also it turns into a popularity contest. It's not necessary who is the most qualified, but who the people like the most.
And who elect them?
What?
Who chooses them?
The committee. Each committee chooses their own representative.
So there should
you're
be enough.
Book distribution committee, you choose your representative.
Then how do you choose them is my question.
It's up to you. It's up to your committee to decide.
Can I finish? So I also feel, I've also been observing people, and people have different types of natures. And generally, a person who speaks Hari Katha very nicely, is a very good devotee that people like, are not necessarily the people who have a very managerial type brain, or will be able to organize particularly. And in general, the people that the general Sangha is going to know are going to be the preachers, who really won't have time, so much time for organization, and will be over here giving advice and nourishing the Sangha. So I feel that if there's going to be a vote, then a vote is a good thing as far as people feel that they're part of something, they feel that they have a say. But as far as actually having the system function properly to facilitate the most seva, I really don't think that's a good idea. If there's people doing a lot of service in the Sangha, come together here to function about increasing service more in a particular field, I feel, like I said before, they have a right to choose who's going to represent their interests the most there. Personally, if I was involved in preaching, for example, or a particular committee here, I would not feel comfortable if someone else decided who's representing me. Who's representing me. So this is I see it almost like a filter of the people who are here are people who are really doing a lot of service. Because the only way you can come is by serving a lot here, serving a lot here, then coming here, serving a lot. And then even if you come here, then there's a lot of trust based on people's service, not based on people's power to speak, not based on people's popularity, charisma, or anything of the sort. Any questions?
Why don't you explain the difference? Answer his question.
Okay.
About the different ways that persons can be elected.
That is my question a little bit more because, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Okay.
I've been involved in management in companies and so on. Money always is the dispute. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter, you know, how you put it.
Yes.
Money has to be protected because always that's where the all trouble comes from. Okay, suppose we're in the Sangha, you and me, and I say, oh, Jiva should be in one of the circles down the Sangha. And Leland, I say, no, he's not an honest person. And somebody else says, yes. Somebody say, no. And start a dispute, is you go or not? How are we gonna elect or select that person to be in that level of trust, you said?
The point that I'm saying, I'm not sure if you understood me, but the point is that we're not going to elect. There's not going to be any election. It's going to be, as far as I see, we're all trying to endeavor for service as much as possible, and people who are serving, hopefully they'll have the spiritual maturity enough to be qualified to be in this position, because it's going to have to be recognized by many, many people that they're there, and other and also these people. I'm not sure if I understood your question.
Well, I guess to me it sounds, to me it sounds like it's an election. Because
it's an election within the Saver group.
Yes.
Among the units.
Because the Saver group can be made up of hundreds of people.
Who represents that service. For example, there is book distribution, and you know that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 devotees that they are always distributing books. So who among those 5 devotees that are always distributing books will be the best who represent the book distribution program in that level, not in that original level? That's what you're saying, yes?
What I would really like is if we could deal on a Vaishnava level and come to consensus more than votes.
Yeah. Mm.
Where everybody can agree on
something. That's not realistic. Something.
It's not realistic, but votes can be there.
Jiva.
Here. Who's next? Yes?
So to clarify, what you're saying is you don't want the whole Sangha voting for who's going to be the representative for, say, book distributing, but you want the book distributing committee to make a consensus, but it's kind of to vote to who's going to represent them.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And they can pick from either within their circle, or they can pick from anywhere in the Sangha anybody that will properly represent their needs in the Board of Representatives.
He had a question first before,
Well, it's just about the choosing who represents you on the board. I would just propose that we leave that the way that the particular committee chooses its representative up to that particular committee.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But must be a criterion.
Yeah.
One thing that people that are raising hands.
Yeah. One thing that I'd like to mention, that say a committee really messes up and they send the wrong person here, that's really just messing up the whole flow of how things are working nicely and stuff. I feel that the other people on this group should have the right to ask them to reconsider another person.
Mm.
Or so, you had your hand up before. Do you have any questions for
me?
Yeah.
Ryan Dunn. I now that it's been further explained by both Brother Cantor and yourself, I changed my position. I agree with your position, but I think we have to look at certain different circumstances. One is that how many committees, if there's 20 committees, then you're saying we'll have 20 people on the board because each committee will be represented, correct?
20 people on the board, and if it becomes too big to function as a group, they can function, then they can have an executive committee. That's what this middle red box is here. That's a smaller group that can do it, but that's chosen by the board.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a couple different ideas on this. It could either, one person could represent two committees, it could be a smaller board, or it could be a larger board, and then that little red circle where it says reps, that's supposed to be a smaller board within the board that would function 4, 6, 8 persons that can have, you know, good meetings together and get things done. So,
I want to finish. So I understand. So now instead of what we showed 8, we would then have as many committees are there would be one representative from every committee. I just want to confirm that, right?
Yes.
The main point is that the committees need to be represented.
Second of all, now if we talked about saffron, with one committee we have a sannyas committee that's going to discuss new possible persons qualified or for sannyas, or we have brahmachari committee, or so then we would have saffron serving on the board, correct?
can I say my feeling on that? My feeling is that this is not, haven't been discussed as with people, just my point of view on that is, it shouldn't be based on any bodily designations, man, woman, race, or ashram. I think it should just be on people's, the quality of people's services and other things. Yes, age also shouldn't be taken into consideration.
Your perspective, in a pure sense, is very nicely presented. The reluctancy is because you have many people from ISKCON. We've seen what devastation took place during and after Srila Prabhupada's left. So there's a real reluctance, and I think you have to address and you have to consider that. So I think that for the masses, that's to be explained. And so just take that in consideration.
We understand that there's a very large phobia from ISKCON, and I want to stress this like a couple hundred times, one more time, is these people are not controlling anybody.
If they control money, they're controlling.
But I didn't understand that till today.
They're controlling everybody.
I wanted to ask, who's going to interface between them and the pocketbook? That's the question.
That was my next thing. Thank you.
What do you mean? Who? You mean is there going to be a middleman here?
What is the interface between the reps and the money that the SEVA committees are going to require for their project?
The financial board will also be represented on here.
And who is the financial board going to consist of?
As far as names are, that's all. These are all blank. Blanks need to be filled in.
And how are they going to come into their positions, the financial?
You know what, let me
that's what people are worried about.
Who's going to be
money.
Here? Let me give a little clarification on this. Because money is a touchy issue, okay?
It is.
Here's the Sangha, okay? For the Sangha to get involved in deciding how the money is spent, they get involved in SEVA. Persons who are generally in the Sangha that aren't involved in SEVA or SEVA committees, they can have their opinion, but they can't really affect it by a vote. So you want power, you want to make to have decisions about how money is being spent, get involved in SEVA. When you're involved in SEVA, it can be on a local level. These are international SEVA committees that can have subcommittees that will represent local temples, local interests. So everybody is actually involved on this committee level if they're involved in some SEVA. Okay. These SEVA committees have representatives that come together that cooperatively decide about the budget with the financial committee. The financial committee at this point is made up of about five individuals who have been functioning in that capacity naturally over the last 5 or 6 years with Gurudev's finances. The difference is that instead of independently acting, now they're acting in cooperation with a group of representatives who have been elected by the devotees in the Sangha are doing the most seva. So there's a cooperative effort to deal with the budget and how money is being spent. You're right. Where there's money, there's power. There is some power in here, but we need to understand how this power is now being dealt with. It's coming from the individuals in the Sangha who are doing the seva, who need the money to do their seva. Does that make it a little clearer?
Yeah.
So many hands up.
I'm just worried about the
one thing I wanted to bring up is that the committee reps that are sent to the Board of Representatives are what we're seeing is they're going to elect their chair. So I just wanted to say in support of that system that the chairman, the most important thing the chairman can do is manage a meeting so that it's not chaos, so that people get along, so that, you know, stay on topic, so that it's efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are going to know best, who does that best, are those people. So if anybody's thinking that chairman should be somehow, you know, appointed or voted, I'm just bringing up that could be very inefficient and stifling for those people.
I don't think is anybody objecting to the system of the chair being voted by the reps and the reps being voted by the SEVA committee? Does everybody kind of agree with the structure, or is there any objection to the structure?
My point is, when it's a conflict of interest, suppose one of the reps want an appropriation of funds to find appropriation of funds,
appropriation
to finance X program. And because a political situation exists and could be, they neglect that funds to him. He have any appeal or any other committee, he can go and present his case.
Yeah, there should be.
Well, all these advisory boards are there. Remember, they're also ratifying the budget with Sheila Gurde. There's a lot of people involved in looking at the budgets. If you have any kind of political play here by strong individuals lobbying for their special interest groups, right, it's going to be seen by individuals on all this level here, as well as Gurde. So there's a lot of checks and balances there. I mean, no system's going to be perfect, but we can try to incorporate as much check and balance as we can. Bhagavat Prabhu, then I'll come to you, Narayan.
Also, you should understand, like, for instance, if I'm correct in this, and correct me if I'm wrong, like the financial committee. Now, you've got people who are going to be in different communities. Like, they just set up in Alachua. They now have a chairman, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. So the treasurer from that committee, of course, he's dealing with the finances on a local level. But they may want to build a temple there at some time. They may want an appropriation of funds.
Right.
So it's possible that the treasurer of that local group, that local community, would also be on the financial committee and get training and interface with the financial committee. And so that you from a lot of different areas in the Sangha, you may have people involved in the financial committee. It's not that the financial committee is a closed committee. It's open to other people in the Sangha,
okay,
isn't it?
Okay, it could be. And the other way in that instance where that community wants funding for their particular project,
right,
is what is their project? If their project is temple construction, we have a Seva committee,
right,
regarding Sangha development, temple construction. If
right.
their project is they need books, they can go to that committee.
Right.
So they can work in through this way as well.
Okay. And the other point I wanted to make was that I don't, you know, say in terms of like talking about a brahmachari or sannyas committee, no one needs to manage a brahmachari or sannyasi or manage someone becoming a sannyasi from a brahmachari. That would be dealt with in the spiritual advisory committees. The sannyasis would be on that committee. They would work with the brahmacharis. They'd be training them. They'd be seeing them. They'd decide with Gurudev, and then they would make an arrangement.
Yeah.
Now this person is ready. They don't need a committee for that.
Let's say the brahmacharis or sannyasis need some funding, right, for traveling and preaching, for health insurance, for other things. That can come through either the preaching committee or through a health committee.
Right.
It can come through other committees.
Exactly.
So it may not be.
Yeah.
And after
maybe
Narayan,
he's had his hand up for like half an hour.
Who else? This devotee here. I know it's. Go ahead and make your comment.
I just have a question. The Seva committee.
Yeah.
Do they employ the Sangha? Like if someone is full time engaged and to be employed, that protect the well being like of livelihood without having to like work for the outside the Sangha. So a Sangha like someone in the Sangha is fully dedicated, committed. Working for the Seva committee, and then return the money circulating.
Up to this
point,
Seva committees are pretty much, devotees just volunteering their time. But this idea of, actually giving some money to householders or people that need money to work in particular Seva is being looked at and accepted. I think it is going to be more and more of a reality.
It's a possibility, it's not a reality today.
It's a reality on some
this
level,
all
but not where we maybe would like to see it. Okay, where are we at now? Right? We're going on this
one thing I'd like to point, a couple of things I'd like to point out. It seems to me that we've been focusing on the financial committee in this question of finance. But there's another question. Supposing that there's a distribution of funds, then the question is what happens to those funds when they get allocated to the different groups? Because if there's some unscrupulous person in one particular Seva group. They can use the funds in their own way. Anyway, there's
needs to be accountability.
Right.
Funds
not,
are used in the
it's
way.
It's not just the financial committee that
Good
we
point.
Have to look at,
Good point.
But we have to look at the use of funds within the groups. That's one thing.
Can I
another,
that's what
thing
I was
finished. Another
I didn't
thing
say
is that. it's unrealistic, unfortunately, to think that the person who's doing the most saving is the most honest and sincere devotee. Because there's very good evidence that extremely unscrupulous people within the ISKCON society came forward, apparently did a massive amount of saving, and actually they did a massive amount of damage. So, I just, you know, the idea that this is, you know, it's all foolproof and sweet and lovely, because it's only on the basis of saving that anyone's going to get onto the board of reps. Unfortunately, it's not true. In Kali Yuga, it's not true. This is like a big plum waiting for someone to pluck it. I mean, people outside will see it like that.
Okay, who is next? Ryan Prabhu, and then the Stevie's from
the Rocky. Well, actually, Nimarj, he hit the exact point that I was going to address. But I just wanted to, I was in the business of creating entities and corporations. So I think the structure is very well taken. There's actually quite a few checks and balances in here. I mean, there's just so many checks and balances you can do. One checks and balance which was recommended yesterday. First of all, before I say that, the chairperson's really the buck should stop there. And you actually made a point to that. So that chairperson is a very important person because he's going to analyze how this distribution is going. And so that's really your sort of first major stop on checks and balances. The financial committee should be an independent committee, and I don't think that that's in other words they should be objective to how they're just governing funds. What was recommended yesterday that an outside source should be we should have a quarterly and a yearly review. You brought up cost to that. I don't think cost is that great. Unless you talk about full audits. But I think an outside source will create a tremendous amount of support and trust. Now, there's a couple, actually, I know, like Dumakesh Prabhu, he's not necessarily engaged in our Sangha, but he's a certified public accountant. He may love to do the saver or make some fair arrangement. So I think we can get a connected outside source that would give us one more checks and balance. Another point is, and there's the saver community, there's no way one bank account is going to work. One place money is kept. Money will have to be distributed to the saver groups. So we will have to at some point address how does the saver group handle the funds that's now given to them?
Right.
You know, in other words, where is the control coming? Because now it's out of the control of the board.
Right.
It's not in control of the advisory committee. It's not in control of anybody. It's all in the control of that saving group. So we have to address that. Once again, but now we're going to get into cost. You have an independent group, but now if you're going to start checking 20 different organizations, now you get into a big bill. So that's going to how their funds.
I think the conclusion is there needs to be accountability for the saving committees that whatever proposal they said, I need X number of dollars to do this project, in this amount of time, then there needs to be some follow-up on some level to see that they actually spent the money for that and they did it.
And there's I created the question. The checks and balances that it's done in a progression. Let's say they were approved for $50,000. Fine, 10 now. How did you use the 10? Now another 10. How did you use the 10? Now another 10. How did you use the 10? And so that way, that's the best control under those circumstances.
Okay, thank you. Let's come to this meeting here.
No, I'm late on the subject, but I was coming back on the subject of Saffron being in the managerial position. It's not a question of how I feel or what I believe. I think we have an answer from the Shastra, as Maharaj said earlier. It's been described in the Shastra how things should be done.
Okay, we have a lot of hands up.
You want to address that question?
I'm coming close just to see how some of the concerns can be adjusted. My proposal is that actually each one of these groups is on the table. For example,
can you speak up, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, the best way, to my understanding, to make things transparent is that everybody is on the table somehow or other. So if this spiritual advisor has one person sitting here, we can also improve communication. We have one of the Bhakti Trust sitting here as well, and we have one of the founding members sitting here. Then, the Sangha has itself a board that elects or selects whomever is going to sit on the table. So we
avoid this. Representing the Sangha? Just the Sangha in general?
Yeah, it's a board like...
one person?
Project directors. They sit together, all this. There are 20 projects or 30. They sit together and they select five or
You're
six.
Talking about all these committees should select somebody.
Right.
Together?
They sit together, like the heads of the projects, and they select themselves who five people will come here, let's say, if we're talking about eight people sitting here. Now, the chairman definitely is a person that more or less directs the meeting, but is not an executive head. This model actually requires an executive secretary. So like in every system you're going to find, and that person can be selected also in this Sangha level, the person that carries out whatever the decisions are here. Now, probably, as a suggestion, each of these posts can have a name, let's say education, health and social,
separate
the ombudsman,
ministry,
the outreach, the editorial, the property issues, and skills and training, whatever. So, but this is an executive, like a ministry, that they can address each of the issues here. Now, if, for example, these advisors can have a seat on education is a way, or otherwise they themselves can see who is more fit for each subject or topic. So I suggest then that besides the chair, there's an executive secretary that's mainly decided by the Sangha.
By the Sangha or the Seva Committee?
Or the Seva Committee, sorry. The Seva Committees have the executive secretary. This chair can be mostly coming from this side. So there is also a balance of, let's say, wiser or more experienced people, like having the chair, and who's going to execute the project has to be in close contact with the Seva communities. So in this whole idea, I think, well, what has come is very nice. Also, this financial committee, to my understanding, could be like in this level, one of these committees, and the general, how you call them, worldwide membership.
That's what it says.
We have also representative here that could be the ombudsman, actually.
So in the Sangha in general.
Yes.
A representative of anybody in the Sangha, but not on the same page.
Exactly. So it's actually one representative of the Sangha could be here as well. And maybe that can be the person that can be elected, and that can be the ombudsman.
So wrap up the presentation.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, yes.
Is that all?
I think so.
Oh. And I want to make a few points of clarification, because what we want to try to do is avoid stating what's already been stated. I don't. You were in the meeting yesterday, right? Some of the points you're making are is not different. For example, you're saying that the Seva committees would elect an executive secretary. We were also suggesting that there be a secretary in here to work with the chairman and the reps to work. So whether it comes from here, it comes from there, the concept has already been proposed. It's a good idea. I think the main difference, what you're proposing, is that there be representatives from the advisory boards on the managerial board of representatives. I think that's the main difference, and you've also included a new Seva committee to represent the entire Sangha who's not engaged in a direct Seva committee. Am I correct in understanding those are the two additions that you want to add to this model?
Yes, but one of the reasons I don't think that under the chair works the secretary is that in every organization there are two different posts. The chair has a profile, and the executive secretary has a different profile. One is more hands-on man, and this other is more philosophical man. So, and because this is the hands-on level, so So the executive secretary should be somebody that's from this area and elected in this level.
Explain that difference, he just said.
The two differences is he's saying that the secretary that works is an administrative function for communication, for calling meetings, for taking minutes, whatever secretary would do in this group would be elected by the Seva committees. And his other point was about representation to the advisory board. So he made a very nice presentation. Prabhu, your name?
Well, my name is Rangapuri Das, your servant.
Rangapuri Prabhu has been working and he's made spent a lot of time and created a diagram. Given a lot of thought to this, so I'd like to just, you know, since he's done that, get some feedback from devotees about his.
Just a matter of interest, he's Bolivian ambassador to the United States.
So what are the regarding? I think the main thing that could be an issue, whether the secretary comes from here or here, I don't think really matters that much. Do we want to have representation? Is there anything negative about having representation on this committee from the advisory board? Anybody have any feelings on that? Is that a good idea? Do you want to have that or not? So we have three hands up.
Wait, what?
The board is put out by the
board. The idea is he's saying
the board.
This idea of the secretary is different than what you're thinking as the secretary.
And his term is 3 years.
Okay, well, let's deal with this issue.
At least that's what's
worth the main issue anyway.
Yeah.
Rangapuri Prabhu is suggesting that the committees here, which were supposed to act below the line in a purely advisory capacity, would now send a representative to affect the Seva committee's service, funding, etc., and not act in purely advisory capacity, but actually be part of the voting. And your main reason for that was?
Well, first one is communication. Because they have experience and they can like address things and everything should be on the table.
Communication and to who?
To the Seva projects, to hear what they say and to go back because there are more classes close in touch with Srila Gurudev. Founding members are in close touch with, you know, elderly members of the societies.
So you'd like them to have a little more say, a little more decision making? On this.
Yes, because I see this as a family meeting. It's not much as a power meeting. Right. So everybody in the family should be here, the elders, the advisors, you know, whomever is respecting the property. And they sit together to have ideas and have an executive secretary to carry those decisions.
Okay.
That's part of the Sangha.
All right. I think it's clear now. We have Bhagavad Prabhu, Dhananjaya, all devotees there, here, wow, lots of feelings on this project. I'm going to go here and then go back to you and up and around here. Bhagavad Prabhu, please make your comments quick because we don't have much time left.
In a Vedic model, even on a village level, there's always a group of elders or spiritual counselors who are not really directly involved in the affairs there. And the reason why is because that allows them a sense of detachment. In the village, you'll have, you know, person who's the mayor and the chairman and so on, managing the affairs of the village, but you'll have a board of elders, a group of elders. And when there's a problem, then they go and see the elders, they see the advisors. Mm-hmm. And the advisors have a fresh look at what's going on the level where the minutiae is being dealt with.
Yeah.
And they're able to take a look at that and say, okay, we're seeing from our years of experience that this, 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 and this, and therefore our advice is at this point that you should do it like that. I think placing somebody on that board, it disconnects them from that ability to offer that fresh look, to offer that sagely advice, to offer that vision. And the other thing is that you had already mentioned that in the model that we have here, before the budget is finalized, it will be sent to all of these boards. They will have a look at the budget.
Need like a two-thirds vote or something.
And they will be able to give their input at that point.
Right.
But to be
to be involved on the day-to-day, I think it robs them of their fresh vision.
Thank you.
I agree.
Understanding Bob Ruth's point, still I'd like to speak in support of it because of Ruth's proposal, because, for example, the committee reps and the board there, they may want two-way communication whenever they're meeting, whenever they're communicating with these other organizations. For example, they may make proposals and decisions that later they discover are just undoable because there's some information from Bhakti Trust they didn't know, or from family members they didn't know. So if these other groups have representatives on the committee, then the information is current. The participation is current. And it's not like a waste of time that, oh, we didn't know that, why didn't you tell us that? And there's two ways, because not only do they want advice from Bhakti Trust, they may want to find out something from Bhakti Trust. Hey, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You know, so two-way communication is important. I mean, it may be not for these spiritual advisory committees that they sit there without voting, but at least they should be there so that they see what's going on. Otherwise, how can they advise if they're not seeing what's going on?
There could be some disconnect here, so there needs to be
trust, I would say, maybe, right, because they're the ones who protect the prophets, but not the spirit.
But they should be there. Otherwise, how can they advise if they're not seeing what's going on?
Yeah, but they can't step over the line.
Next week,
we have 25 minutes left. We're making some great progress, good suggestions. I'm going to come to this TV in the back here.
Well, I think the question is more about the line, what the line represents. And I think going to what the last part you said, this is probably the you know, having them as advisor doesn't mean you have to go to a different meeting to have them as advisor. They can send a representative as advisor. But what, according to Vedic, the advisor should not have a weight into the decision, especially when we know that most of the people who are coming from, and I speak for myself, but I'm sure I represent a few people. There's you know, people who've been in spiritual life all their life and have been lucky, like Brahmachari here, and they've been born in that. But there's other people who have experience of the karmi life. And now what we're trying to do is try to avoid redoing what people from the karmi life discuss from the karmi life and why they come to spiritual life. Mm. And one of the reasons we come to spiritual life is because we can't trust those kind of, you know, this kind of arrangement when the priest sleeps with the advocate, or the priest sleeps with the minister, which had happened in so many countries and in so many places and so many religions. So there has to be a difference. The line can be there, but as the last Prabhu said, I'm just closing up, as the last Prabhu said, advisory doesn't mean they cannot sit at the rep's place, but they should not, from my point of view. And that's what was said yesterday, and everybody applauded.
Okay.
We had 60 persons saying that yesterday. Sannyasi is a renounced order. They should renounce power, but at the same time we should recognize their high position for advising.
Okay.
And I think it's both the protection for them and for us, and it's allowing them
these
to
are
be
not
more
all sannyasis here.
Yeah, no, but they're high. You say they're highly spiritual.
Close to
them.
Guru.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Well, I'm going to come here, and then I'm going to come to Yamuna Prasad.
Hari Bol, I would just like to maybe ask if we could have a little discussion on the Sangha in general, because we have all of these service committees, and I wondered the definition of service. Like, there may be a lot of families who have, like, say, me, or others who have a lot of children, and our service is at home. We're taking care of our children, we're like that, but we also would like to be a part of the Sangha. I mean, we would like to be a part of the actual running of the program. So I was wondering if we could talk maybe about membership and what that membership would entitle you to, so that we can actually be a part of the decision-making processes.
It may be opening up a whole discussion with membership. One of your points of concern was addressed by him by creating a committee that would represent the general Sangha in all kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And as
could we have like a direct voting or some kind of direct effect on the decision-making process.
Well, if we come through that committee, if that committee was like an ombudsman or representative of the entire Sangha, that would be one area. But your concerns in terms of the society will usually fall in the categories of the Seva committees. You don't want the society to tell you how to run your family. But you might want to be involved in decisions that are going to affect Badger community, the Badger school, or things that are going to be addressed by the Seva committee. So
the Sangha would bring their concerns to the Seva committees that they're concerned about.
Yeah, and they would either take part or they'd get their feedback as far as like that region. Okay, I'm going to come to Jamuna Prasad Prabhu, and then we're going to come here, up there, and then down there, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Financial responsibility. Remember, I get this board together. They're going to create some rules and regulations. They're going to hire an outside auditor to look at this. They're going to probably report, say, hey, look, if we're giving you guys $10,000 a year, you got to have bookkeeping coming back to us. If you guys are collecting another $100,000, you're up to maybe $110,000. You're going to have outside auditing look at your books and present it here if you want any funding from us. So again, they can create the rules and regulations for the financial interface. So there's protection based on what people want, what kind of financial oversight they want, and they're willing to pay for it. Okay. The second thing is, in here, these are I believe the understanding is that you guys come up with supposed financial reporting requirements. You would take the minutes from this meeting, the resolutions, the proposed resolutions, and you go here for blessings. Like you go to Gurudev. Gurudev, you don't come to him with problems, you come with a solution, you seek his blessing. That's what he prefers, I believe. Yeah. So that's how we see this, is more like, hey, this is what we want to do, we want your blessing. And they go, it's okay, but we don't think there's enough going to social services. You go back, redraft your budget, and they come back and they go, yes, I think that's all right, we give you a blessing. That's kind of how I saw it going. Founding members, I don't get these guys. I mean, I have a feeling the founding members are here to help form this, dissolve, and blend into the service side. I don't really see it as a thing, but it's
consideration. Consideration.
Yeah, I feel I feel they help form this arrangement and then dissolve into those service.
Their time has come.
That way.
Their time has come. Their time has come. There's no purpose of it.
Yeah, well, that's just my opinion. You guys have to talk about that.
This is coming from Gurudev.
The last thing I see, and this is a little radical here, I see this Bhakti Trust is actually a hand-picked group by Gurudev to represent his interests. And we have no say in who this is. He picks his representative, and they represent his interest when he's on the planet and not. And that's kind of how I see it. That might be a little radical, like the founding members thing. But I see it as his rep. He picks, I want Madhav Amar or whoever he picks, maybe householder, ought to be on this trust to manage his, his kind of spiritual affairs. But anyway,
as time goes on, how do we continue to pick Bhakti Trust members?
Like these committees, I have a feeling that they're kind of a self. Somebody falls down, they toss them out, they want a new person in. Somebody dies, they want somebody new, pick a high-class guru to come in. Similar to this, they're self-regulating bodies.
Okay, so where are we? I think we're going this direction, starting in Jiva.
Another problem that I see, I think everybody's been saying, that these are purely advisory, and if they have a vote in the thing, then it also gives them some power, which would then you would need to have more checks and balances of how these people get into these positions, which makes the situation more complicated. Of how do you become a spiritual senior advisory person? Is it this many years? And I think it can get messy. And also, like Bhagavad Prabhu says, it defeats the purpose of having them.
I just want to ask clarification. I just want to ask a clarification. Because we talked about, are we saying the advisory committee then would not have a board rep, a board member, but they can have a representative coming to the board.
Oh, yes. Just can't
vote. So then I think that they have to extinguish that we could, just between board members, but advisory should have, and we actually can pass that as part of the program, that there's a communication representative, because you want someone there instantaneously to speak to, to bring, you know, to get information and send information as done in Jaipur.
They give advice, but they can't decide.
Mm-hmm.
But
they don't vote, that's all. They're non-voting.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
There's a number of terms. Like, if they have the whole stages, have just 3 terms, and you have 8 terms, you don't have a voting problem. But you have somebody that's wise at
present.
One point is that I'm thinking that we are focusing in the whole organization of the society as a whole international entity. But I think one suggestion is that everything begins from the unit. And the single unit is in the society is made by families that together make a community, the community make then the county or whatever, and then you go to the government level. So I don't see or I haven't heard yet what is the local organization of that unit, because to come here we have to address first the unit. If the unit is working properly, then as a whole will work, you know.
This is a good question.
So,
yeah, people have this concern. Maybe I can answer it. Do you want to answer it anymore?
Well,
how the local communities fit into this?
Prabhupada, there's that famous letter in 1972 that he wrote to, I think, Karanda. So he said the GBC shouldn't be doing management. He said management should be done by local men, even if it means registering each place separately. But still, that we should maintain autonomy.
Where is
that is mandatory in accordance with law. So law will not permit you to just have a trust out here and operate all over the world. That's not permitted. But so far it's talking about the unit. It's not permissible just to have a unit out here and then operate all over the world, because separate countries have got separate laws.
Different laws.
Yeah.
And
they have their own ways.
I'm not
touching this issue. I'm really not aware of in what manner you have done it. Like, I wasn't here since beginning in the meeting. I just wanted to point out, so far as raised this question, so far as the legal issues goes, separate countries have got separate laws, and you have to go in accordance with that if you want to run your finances there, if you want to have your transfer of finances from here,
right.
If you want to transfer finances from there, because people will be donating you, your basic will be the donation, right? People will be donating you in their own country, in their own manner, and they will be having a personal relationship with that person whom they're denoting, like as it operates all over the world.
That's exactly why Srila Prabhupada wanted.
Yeah.
That each temple should incorporate individually within their own country, within their own state, within their own place, so that they could set up the individual corporation for that purpose.
The suggestion is
to emphasize the importance of the clarity and the criteria necessary at the local level, so that will be reflected.
Let's give an example.
As a whole. Not in the inverse, to create the whole international organization, and at the single level, there is no...
Let's give an example, see if it works. Okay, Colombia, you want to organize a MOT in Colombia. MOT, Colombia. You want a seat on this board because you want funding. The board will say, great, you keep your books nice, you follow Gurudev's mission, and we'll give you some seed money to build a MOT. You can take like that. So it's independent entity organized here. This becomes kind of a support funding group, not really controlled by here.
Yeah, but my sense
is
that's your opinion, but my sense is that my perception is that we are creating the organization at the international level, but the stress and the importance of the local organization has not been addressed in sufficiently.
It's coming through the Seva committees.
Yeah,
whatever your local concern is
you organize locally, legally, locally, bank account, the whole thing is right in your backyard, as you point out. It needs to be.
Is there a Seva committee that represents, like, if there's 20 preaching centers around the world and 50 different communities that haven't really established a preaching center or a temple? Are all of them involved in one Seva committee, preaching?
They can be. Sangha development, preaching center development, temple construction.
Right.
They can come and put forward their proposal. What we'd
within
like to see
committee.
Is that the funds come locally. But if it's a,
right.
if they need some seed money, if it's a major international project like Badger, or we decide in America we want one big temple, then it could be that the funding would come internationally for that project.
Is there going to be any?
I want to ask, request her to speak. I think the ladies sometimes have been
not represented completely, so she's been very patient. Please go ahead.
Oh, no problem. If I repeat anything that's been said, just stop me. But I have an idea, and I've discussed this idea with Mahesh, who's a partner and an award-winning investment representative for Edward Jones. But I think it would be real nice. You know, some devotees, they get excited about a project and they want to give it a donation. But some devotees want to give a donation that just keeps on giving. So I think it would be nice to set up a foundation.
No problem.
Oh, is that already been discussed?
No problem. It can be done. No problem.
And then also encourage devotees to have estate planning. Because
many
devotees estate
planning
also.
Very good suggestion.
So
what's that?
When devotees move on, then if their estate is properly planned, whatever portion they want can go to the foundation, and it can just continually support.
So you would want to get involved with the financial committee, because those are ideas for fundraising and like that. See, there's a place would be probably maybe here or maybe a separate committee. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I don't know
you could,
be the financial
or whoever is interested in that topic or has those ideas. Here's the group that
can make your suggestions.
Like, yeah. Mahesh is very expert.
There you go. Well, yeah. You should be interfacing with those guys.
Chandrika, right?
Yeah.
She was the first person that 2 years ago raised her hand and donated $10,000 to help buy this property. Where were we?
Here.
Up here? Well, we're just getting a time check. How much more time do we have?
12 minutes.
12 minutes. Okay. Just a couple more comments, and then I'd like to kind of get a consensus on where we're at with our discussion today. Okay?
No, I don't have anything to say. I just like to do a consensus because time's running out.
Okay. Indupati, do you have a comment? No? Rahini? And then Mara.
So, what happened is that we have the different set of movies. Isn't it? One is about art, one is about constructing temple, this, that.
Right.
But we must understand that this is an international Sunday. It means that it is composed of international locations.
Right.
Maybe our preaching has not been truly developed, especially in the local areas, very few focuses of our preaching. But every preaching focus has different, these different ministries, these different committees. So there must be some international representation in the representatives.
Yes.
Not only who is managing all the art, all the temple construction, because this is a little bit unpractical in the sense that it's centralized in some group that really doesn't know the concern of the different places of the world. So how are the projects being developed? Then it should be represented in
So it could be up to persons in South America, Central America, to get involved with the SEVA committee on some level.
No, directly have representatives.
Directly where?
Directly have representatives. And then the SEVA committees will...
In here?
Yes.
I didn't agree
with that. For what purpose?
Yeah.
For what purpose? Because just to represent the country on all levels? Or what?
Of course.
Now we've got
every single place in the world has all these different issues going on in the development.
Right. So they'll all be involved in the different SEVA committees.
These are international
the people
groups.
Who are distributing books in Mexico will be on the book distribution committee.
What
are the people who are interested in developing a preaching center or a temple will be on that committee.
No, okay.
The people who are interested in fundraising will be on the
committee. We visited 18 committees yesterday. I think you were there.
Yes.
Okay. There's more that could be there.
Generally, there is only a small group of people doing the whole thing. We don't have 18 people in every place of the world doing different types of services. Every one person is doing five different things.
You can be on all the committees. You don't have to be on the committee to work with the committee.
Exactly.
The committee is to help.
The committee is for helping the development of the preaching.
Right. Yes.
So interfere.
Okay, anyways, I think what he's suggesting, there's two ways to get international representation. One is that they go on all the individual committees, which may be impractical because you've only got a small group and you can't spread it out. The other point would be to send an international representative, like let's say we have, you know, 5 or 10 major continents or countries where the devotees are active, that they have some kind of say directly on this. It's a good point. It's worth considering that those countries have a say on here and they're affecting all the committees.
Yeah.
Any comment on that from
the It's a good
Okay. I'm going to go here and then there and then to Bhagavad. Quickly.
One way to get more representation on different committees is when you have registration for festivals, you have a registration for committees.
Yeah, yeah. But regarding his point, I'm asking comments on his point.
I'm confused from what Jim Prasad said before, because I thought he said if some country has, they would, whatever country sets up a sangha, they would then have a committee. If that's what I understand, then if you have 20 sanghas or 30 sanghas or 50, there's going to be 50 committees, one representing each sangha. Then,
can I answer that?
Then out of that, they would then put someone on the board. Now you have a really heavy, yes.
I was just test driving the model. Test driver say, okay, what if this happens? And you go, oh my God, instead of 18, there's 108.
Right.
Right? And I'm saying, well, perhaps it becomes, and these guys, 108, get an executive committee of about 10 to help get a couple things done, come back to here, make sure it's done properly, come back to here.
Well, you could have dozens of levels and subcommittees. Yeah, but what I'm asking for clarification here is what you are saying is that there would be a committee set up for each individual sangha, such as Alachua would have and LA would have one, and Chicago would have one.
How to deal with this issue of representation across the world?
We had another comment about this.
Because that seems to be, and then members from there besides that can sit on six other committees, and it starts getting kind of complicated. There's no rules, regulations for just how, it can get unmanageable.
Yeah.
He has a comment.
I would like to say something just particularly about the function of these committees. I think that might be a little misunderstood, or maybe I'm misunderstood. That these are international committees. Mm-hmm. On here is not that everybody in the world that does preaching is on the preaching committee.
Why not?
It's not, how many thousands of people we're going to have.
So why not?
But, because it would be very hard to manage and to send here. No, but people are, like, for example, I'm preaching in San Francisco. Some other people are preaching in another place. So when I want support or I have a proposal, I'll come to this committee, which is like a communication group, which is in sync with all the people around the world doing preaching or all the people around the world doing publication. So I'm not on the committee, but I'm taking help and support from the committee, which is dealing and supporting people internationally that has an international view and picture on them. And only if I want or if the committee needs more help, then I could come and look at the whole international picture.
These committees are serving the Sangha.
Locally.
That's the purpose of these committees. Exactly. They're serving them.
So each country would have someone in that committee to deal with their...
They don't have to be in the committee.
Yeah.
But the committee should be open so that they can approach the committee for any needs they have.
What do you mean? Okay, let's get a few more comments and then we're going to wrap it up. Take a breath. Who's next?
Me.
I'm going to go to Bhagavat, then I'm going to go to Aniruddha, then I'm going to go to Maharaj Shir.
You have 5 minutes.
Okay, then I'm going to come to you. Quickly, Bhagavat.
What it appears that he's asking for is some direct representation from a particular country based on the fact that maybe, it's a little too hot, top-heavy in European and American representatives, therefore a South American or a Russian or a Bolivian or
Indian.
An Indian may not feel like they're getting represented there. But if we start doing this kind of a thing, just from my perspective, it starts becoming too much bodily consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example, please listen one second. During the Karti, it was a suggestion made by one sannyasi that, we should have a separate Western parikram, because we have to sit through three lectures, a Hindi lecture, a Bengali lecture, and an English lecture. So let's have the two separate parikrams. Gurudev was very unhappy with it. Very unhappy. He said, so when your Western parikram goes out, I cannot go because I am Indian? And I will not go on your parikram? I don't want this, he said. I want everyone to work together as a group. I don't want bodily designation of this Vaishnava, that Vaishnava, the other one. I want them all to be a family. This is what he emphasized. I feel this is divisive.
Okay, I'd like to come to people who have not spoken.
I haven't spoken.
I'm going to come to Papa Maharaj, and I'm going to come to Vrindavan. I'm going to say something quickly.
These Seva groups, hence the name Seva. Why don't we define them so we know what we're talking about? Exactly who, what they are.
Didn't yesterday in the meeting we defined every 18 different Seva groups.
So there's going to be 18 representatives? There's only five.
There needs to be.
You're coming out a little late, okay? There's different scenarios. One person can represent two committees, or we can have 18 here, or we can have 100 here. There can be a smaller executive board. We've kind of worked through this whole process already. Okay, Maharaj?
Well, it's a little bit similar question to what Vrindavan just mentioned. I'd like to get a clearer picture in the committees, like how big they are. Do they have different which positions of office within the committees that they have? And also, I'm just thinking that perhaps in addition to the committee, you could have associations linked with them. You know, like International Preachers Association. And then that association is connected with this preaching committee about preaching. But you have the actual association of the people who are in the different countries preaching. And they have like a membership, like a club, you know, like in Christian religions they have the Young People's Christian Association, you know, Young Men's or Young Ladies Christian Association. So it may be a way also of encouraging communication amongst the preachers and a sense of unity rather than disunity like Bhagavad Prabhu was warning of.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, what he was talking about, you know, I understand. You know, the let's say in a local place, I go to Japan or anywhere, you know, and then when there is some issue, I need the help, you know, and then the preacher, you know, having different issues, needs somebody, you know, to get help, and you know, we have financial or this and that, all kinds of things, you know? And then I cannot be going to, you know, every one of them. We need somebody.
What kind of help you need? Give me a concrete example of what kind of help
okay, you know, okay. I need, hey, come over here and back me up with the kirtan or some, send me somebody over here, you know? Things like that. And I have this
committee issue.
We
have a preaching committee.
Yeah, I know, but we are talking about worldwide. And we're going to have thousands and thousands of Namhata. And we locally, we need somebody that we can immediately get the help from. And I understood his opinion in that way. And that we need. But this is a different department. But we need somebody that, hey, firefighting, you know, jobs and get, you know, somebody I can link to.
I got an answer to that.
How are you going to do
it? You got a preaching program. You're in Tokyo. You call up or email a guy. And you're in Tokyo, and this guy, all his seva is
you're talking too easy.
Huh?
You're talking too easy, Prabhu. We're going to have thousands and thousands of Namhata in the future. We need a structure for that. We cannot be just
Wait, let me finish. So if you're not aware of the local thing that's going on, this guy will be. And he'll say, hey, you need to talk to this Prabhu in Tokyo.
He
knows what's going on locally.
Yes, it's just a database.
I think you're also complicated.
We're going to have to wrap it up. What time is it? 12:30. 12:30. Okay. I'm going to let these two devotees, they have not said anything, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. Okay, just 30 seconds, please. 1 minute comment from everybody, and then we're going to come to the conclusion. It's 12:30, and we'll call the meeting to a close.
Excuse me, I was late for the meeting. It may have been covered already, but something I thought was very key is for each of the committees to have interactive websites for the people involved in them to be able to have a back page where they can work on structural things, and then everyone in the committee internationally would be able to be interconnected to see, you know, what access we have to preachers, to different new books coming on. I was just seeing that the interactive website is real key for our Sangha to stay interconnected. You know, with the chat rooms about different issues that we're discussing. Has that been discussed?
But it's definitely can be something that should be done. Okay.
And then your language.
Actually, yesterday, I made the suggestion. I was trying to make the suggestion of exactly what's here, and now I'm very happy. I think that this is working out very well. One thing I had about the financial suggestion, maybe some people would overlook if you're doing it outside. But the question I really had, but maybe we could just talk about a tiny bit, just so maybe for the next meeting we would talk about it a little bit, is have suggestions of how the practical community, country to country, place to place, will have concrete access and association with the Sangha committees, which cannot be hugely large. Yeah. Some concrete structure that can make some.
You're asking how can, well, similar question. How can a worldwide community interact with only a handful of committees, which could be Australia, and you're in Tokyo, and how do you get in touch with them?
Some concrete form
or issue that you're interested in.
Once a week, there's some meetings here and there.
This is the beginning process. Actually, a lot of these committees aren't even formed yet. The ones that are not formed necessarily where they should be. So there's a lot of work to be done. We're looking at the overall structure now.
You stand up from the feet, and then you stand up to the legs, and then you stand up from the feet up.
I'd like to say one thing, though, about one of these committees that I've stressed a lot, that's not really on the diagram, but they are black. I suggest there should be one committee which is a communication committee, where it could be involving a website, it could be involved on a phone, and it could be a very large committee, which is like a directory or a telephone directory or something, that if anyone has any problem, not everyone's going to know each committee and what I'm supposed to contact for what. But if they want to come and offer some service, or they want to come for some help, they approach this one central committee or group. It can be huge, it can be a whole complex, right? But you can contact by email, by mail, by phone. You can go directly to them. And this is personal, sole person's job is to hook people up with who they need to talk to. The general Sangha.
Thank you. Okay, one last comment from Padmanabh.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, Rohini Prabhu, I wanted to add something to him. That there is a feeling among international devotees from India, from other countries, that they are being sidelined, and it's because that they are not, in the forefront. Like, if we have these international committees of, like you were suggesting, having different continents and having committees from different area, and finally, working with all over the world. That will give a better handle of the ground reality. Because some of these committees won't even touch certain areas in the world.
Okay, to address your question, now, Radha Kanta, I want you to tell me who the financial committee, who the treasury committee, what countries are they from?
No, it's just that...
That's the answer to your question, isn't it?
I'm talking about the ground people. I'm talking about the ground people, actually. I'm talking about the ground level
Dutch
people.
Your concern is the same as Rohini Nanavamu's concern. Where do you, in some ways, what is your question? Where are you? This hasn't even been formed yet, but are you concerned that there won't be international representation here?
No, not about international representation. I'm talking about just. I'm not bothered about that. What devotee has what skin or whatever. Right. I'm more bothered about actually ground level preaching.
Practical, isn't it?
Ground level preaching. Requires ground level people. So you have a committee, let's say North American committee. So you have that you go to that person for any issue related to day-to-day activity.
Exactly.
And South America, you can go to that person day-to-day activity. So he represents, in a way.
All right. This could be reproduced, or part of this could be reproduced on a country level, North American committees, regional committees, state committees,
They become committees, actually. That's what we, 108 or whatever. But then those can be taken care of in that case. And one more thing.
One more thing, and then we're finished.
A couple of things.
One, quickly, 30 seconds.
Regarding that chair thing, having it elected.
chairperson.
Chairperson. Electing is not the best approach. What I say is that whosoever is the senior devotee in the Bhakti Trust or whatever, become the chairperson so that he can take care of the from the spiritual point of view.
All right. But first we have to understand what is the function of the chairperson. The chairperson is representing and organizing and having oversight of this entire board. So who's going to best represent their interests? They should have some say in that. If we bring in somebody from the outside that's out of touch with the Seva committees or out of touch with the representatives,
He might be more.
If you want
I think that is important.
It's important
to create a document or some type of bylaws or some type of process so that the questions are not repeated. So when you say, what are the qualifications to be a chairperson? Say, well, this is the qualification. What is the process of financial check and balance?
Yes.
This is the process.
Yes.
So this is a lot of work. It's not that easy.
This is a constitutional convention.
I
mean, we're creating this here. We started with a model. It's been changing. So today, let's just kind of review what's happened. Okay? We talked about a few major issues. And the last issue was international representation, how things are getting done on a local level. I hear it loud and clear from a lot of people, so this is something that we need to discuss further and figure out how it's going to be properly fit into the structure. I don't think we have an answer right now, but you know, every day that we have these meetings, every festival, every process, we're getting closer to that. The whole idea of this meeting is exactly this. What are we missing? Let's hear that. It's being recorded. These things are going to be dealt with on one level from anybody who's interested in helping us to form that.
My only thing is that there should not be a disconnect between the Bhakti Trust and the representative. There should be a bridge. I mean, in the budgetary and things like that, they should be there. Anyway, financial committee has people from Bhakti Trust, but in future, let's say financial committee doesn't have people from Bhakti Trust, but there should be some people who are.
Another concern that you're saying and I've heard before is that we don't want to disconnect between the advisory boards and what's actually happening here.
Yeah.
If they're too passive in their advice and their advice isn't being listened to, there needs to be some way that they know what's going on, they review the budget, they review the decisions, that they're connected in some way. We talked about voting, and I think everybody is kind of feels good about the conclusion, at least the consensus, maybe a show of hands, as to what's been discussed here, or maybe that we've kind of done away with the sum of voting. At least the consensus, as far as I understand. That was a huge success. If nothing else, we made a huge leap forward. And we've talked about, you know, all these other issues today. What else am I missing in summary, the main points from today?
I want to talk about the saving committee.
We're trying to.
I want to say that the next step is actually to get that in place. And I can't say that emphatically enough, that's the practical thing. Otherwise, this is, it's kind of, it's lifeless.
Yeah, before we
it's like in that
here,
brochure, it says the life and beauty of the movement is the movement
the seeds of the saving. I agree, before we leave Badger, we need to set up the seeds of the Saver committees and then start inviting people from all over the world to join the different communities.
So what is the best way to do that? I think everybody agrees with that. Tomorrow's on a cut. After that, we have two more days. So what about some practical suggestions?
Practical suggestion is that, first of all, you draw up on the computer the Saver committees and you define them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you either you put it on a big board somewhere that everybody can read it, but better that you have handouts to give to all the devotees, and you request, you have a place where they can come and sign up their name for one of the committees before they leave Badger, and we also give them information how they can now start to communicate with the committee and with the other
communication committee is number one.
My suggestion is that because what we're trying to do is to foster service, idea of service, so it should be done face to face. And my suggestion is that you have tables out there and you have a group of people saying, hey, we're going to get education. Do you want to come on board?
Yeah.
We're going to get preaching to you. Do you want to come on board?
This is a great idea. I want to see a show. I want to see a show of hands. Of who is going to take, who wants to come forward, okay, in the next few days to work on generating membership in these committees. Let's get a show of hands.
I want the Prashad committee.
So I'd like to request that one person be like a little, you know, the head of this group. Maybe Maharaj, you're very passionate about it. Would you want to Lead out the group. You see who your members are. Okay.
So anybody who wants to be engaged in setting up Saber groups, Saber committees, Saber initiatives, we're going to have a plotting session.
It's a long process.
No, it's just beginning here.
The thing is, like, let the structure begin. You don't have to form the committee right away. Send out the email to everybody. Let everybody participate into this, the whole Sangha. The whole Sangha is not here. This is like 400 people.
There's a lot of follow-up. What Maharaj is saying is, we're all here. There's 500 international devotees. Okay. All right, comment from meeting's back. I'm sorry, what's your name? No comments. Right, I'm going to draw the meeting to a conclusion. It's getting very late. I think we've made some great progress.
Me too.
Thank you very much for attending.
Bunch your cowpens through this shot, creep us in new days.
Wait, so what are the...
Anyone who wants to help set up the Saber Committee, let's sit down right now for 5 minutes. Have I did it by Can we
We're
going to get involved right here.
Yeah,
it should be
Yeah, the word would be good. Well, these bulbs are like $200 at least.
Yeah. Can we? We make a circle.
Come on. Come on.
You know, it appears to me that you just have to sign up.
Okay, we're going to sit down and find out what we got.
Just begin the chart?
We find out what the ingredients are, and then we'll start with the cake and chip it for you. Actually, this is really good. That's really good. If we write down what, if we put our name, what we're interested in, then we can start with smoking. Not just interested, but prepared to be involved. So what we're looking for.
You
have to
be ahead of it. You
have to
be
involved.
You
have to
A level of service at the group, like a local.
We're dedicating everything.